we're going to return to the theme of the Beatitudes we've been pursuing the last few weeks, and Matthew 5, verse 7. They all stand alone, the eight or so Beatitudes, but they're all interrelated as well. And the one we're coming to, I think, is a fifth one: blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. The words of Jesus Christ. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. And we're going to look at this. Switch this on. We're going to look at this under three headings. Here's the first one. But I'll just put them all up because I'll forget to put them up. If I don't, I'll just stick them up. Now, in our world today, most people, I think, would agree that the exercise of mercy is declining. And people are becoming less compassionate. We see that in governments, particularly. And governments reflect what the electorate wants. And today we see foreign aid budgets being cut by most countries. See countries closing their hearts to those who are fleeing from persecution, fleeing from war, fleeing from hardship. And we see people who genuinely have great and grave need and are in miserable situations being treated the same, I suppose, as those who just want to get into the country to take their chance. And so the reality for so many people in this world who are at the sharp edge of policies on aid and immigration is that life is miserable and life is hopeless. And they look for mercy, and there is no mercy. And those who make the decisions which deny them mercy are removed so far away from the people whom those decisions affect that they probably have very little real sympathy or empathy or awareness of what it's like to be at the rough edge of their decisions. And so they don't see that their not showing mercy really, really affects people who need mercy. Now imagine a world leader, a hardline world leader who takes a hardline stance against immigrants, for example, shows no mercy to them. And imagine that person and how they think about themselves. Do they think of themselves as people who need mercy? Probably not. Because if they did, they would be more inclined to be merciful. But put that world leader in a room on their own with 100 immigrants who had been roughly treated because of their policies. Who would need mercy then? 100 angry immigrants. The world leader would need mercy because it would be the chance for those immigrants, if they wish, to get even with that leader. The world leader needs mercy too. They don't see it. And that's the thing that is really hidden in this beatitude. And it's not on the surface so that you immediately are struck by it. But the first thing I want to say, and perhaps it's the most important really, is that this is about people who need mercy themselves. The merciful, the people who are going to show the mercy, they need to be shown mercy. And it's not just that that's kind of like a nice thing for them as a kind of reward for having been merciful. Rather it is, they really need mercy too. And Jesus is speaking to people who may not even realize that they need mercy. They can think of other people they think need mercy. But Jesus says, if you're going to be merciful to others, remember, you need mercy too. Everyone needs mercy. And in the church, often we can forget this, because we can be like the church that Jesus spoke to in Revelation chapter 3 at a place called Laodicea. And this church, Jesus says, said they were rich. You say, I am rich, I have acquired wealth, and I do not need a thing. Well, these are not people who think they need mercy, are they? But Jesus says to them, but you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. The word pitiful there does literally mean people who need mercy. And they don't know it. They think that they are doing really well. And this is a Christian church. And that is a challenge to you and me straight away, to realize that when we look around on the world and think about the miserable situation of many people in this world, we need to do so from the point of view of people who know that it's not just other people who need mercy, but we desperately need mercy ourselves. And unless we know that, how are we going to have hearts that desire mercy for other people? This church in Laodicea had once prayed for mercy. The Christians within it had come in some form or another to Jesus at some point and met with them for the first time and had received his forgiveness and his salvation. But they've forgotten all that, as we can as Christians. Time passes. And now, says Jesus, they're blind. They can't even see that they need mercy anymore. Like the world leader who's forgotten to be merciful to others because they've forgotten that they themselves need mercy, the church can do the same. Sometimes we can end up in situations where we don't even really know why we're doing wrong, and that what we're doing is wrong, and that therefore we really do need God's mercy. Like Jesus on the cross, looking down on the people who have crucified him and the crowds that have gathered. Father, forgive them. The merciful man, Jesus, forgive them. Forgive them. Because they don't know what they're doing. They've forgotten about mercy. They've forgotten about why you would want to show mercy. They've forgotten about their own need of mercy, and why, if we know our own need of mercy, we're going to be far more inclined to show mercy to others. Why do we need mercy? Well, we need mercy because there's something about us that we can't get rid of. And that's our nature. Paul writes about it as a Christian in Romans chapter 7. He says, I know that good itself does not dwell in me. Just listen to these words and the strength of them. Good itself does not dwell in me, that is in my flesh, in my body. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. This is Paul, this is a Christian. He says, what a wretched man I am, a man who needs mercy. I'm a man who needs mercy. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God, who delivers me through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We need deliverance today. We need mercy. Because we're heading to a judge. We're heading to Jesus as the judge. When the time for mercy is past, and the time for putting everything that's out of kilter in terms of justice in this world right, we have to meet him. We must all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And this is the Jesus before whom, like the church in Laodicea, we are wretched and we are pitiful. We are in need of mercy. And that is why I say to you, as I say to myself, seek mercy. Seek it now. Keep seeking mercy. Have a heart that seeks mercy, in order that not only may you know God's mercy for you, but that you may also be merciful. So this is the first thing to really grasp, to understand. As we look out on others and we see why they might need mercy, let's realize we need mercy. And we'll see in a minute just how desperately we do, according to Jesus. The second thing is, we need to show mercy. And this is what the Beatitude is commending. If we know our own need for mercy, that is going to make it much easier for us to know everyone else's need for mercy, and it's going to make it easier for us to show mercy. We thought with the young people about Bartimaeus, the blind man, and he cries for mercy, and he gets mercy. Can you imagine what happened next to Bartimaeus? I'm sure he had blind friends. I think Bartimaeus just forgot his blind friends. Think if Bartimaeus saw, because he could see, because of the mercy of Jesus, if Bartimaeus saw a blind man, do you think he'd close his heart? Well, he might do. If that was a kind of reflection on his character, but the very fact that we know the name Bartimaeus tells us that he was known in the Christian church. We imagine there probably he was not only someone who had his sight restored, but someone who followed Jesus. He didn't just follow him along the road after he was healed. He followed him in his heart. And so, having been shown mercy, he was going to be much more inclined to show it to his blind friends and try to get them to Jesus and show it generally to people in need and try and help them to find mercy from Jesus too. And he himself would show mercy and kindness to others. If you go through Matthew's Gospel, there are a few other occasions when people cry for mercy. Bartimaeus and his friend in chapter 20. In chapter 9, there's another two different blind men who cry for mercy. In chapter 15, the Canaanite woman, a Gentile, cries for mercy for her daughter. And in chapter 17, the man with the demon-possessed son cries to Jesus for mercy for his son. And Jesus blesses them all with mercy. He always shows mercy when he's asked to show mercy. This is the confidence that we have in the character of Jesus. He is merciful. And so we who would follow him need to be like him. And that's the challenge. It's easy to show mercy, probably, to a crying baby. Although I failed even in that at 3 o'clock in the morning many years ago when I had crying babies in the house. It's easy to show mercy, perhaps, to a hungry child. It's not necessarily so easy to show mercy to those who have made bad choices and are living with the consequences of those bad choices, especially if we ourselves think that we haven't made bad choices. We're all self-righteous about it. What about those who have made your life hard? If they fell on hard times, would we hear their cries for mercy? See, there isn't a list with this beatitude. The beatitude doesn't say, blessed are those who are merciful to this kind of people and this kind of people and this kind of people. But you don't need to be merciful to this kind of people and this kind of people and this kind of people. The beatitude tells us that the character of the Christian is that for every single other human being that we come across in this world, we have mercy. Even if in our heads we struggle with them, There must not be anyone we think of as just wasters that we don't need to bother with, just scum, you know, just evil people that we don't need to have anything to do with. Mercy. Jesus said, love your enemies. Paul writes, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. It's very easy for me to stand here and to say that to you right now. But we're in the situation from time to time, you and me, where we are confronted with people we find it very hard to show mercy. Jesus says, show them mercy. It was not easy to look down from the cross, I don't imagine, and pray for forgiveness for the people who were crucifying Jesus. And I suppose, put it like that, when we cry to Jesus ourselves for mercy, and he thinks of all that he suffered and had to suffer for us, and the fact that he had to come to a world and live for 33 years without sinning once, and the struggle of that goes beyond what my mind can understand, and all that he had to go through for me, you know, it was not easy for Jesus to show mercy to me. But we're following him, and we have to show mercy to all. If someone is coming to us for mercy, we must show it. We leave judgment to God. In fact, we are never to judge. Do not judge, Jesus says, or you will be judged. Leave judgment to God. He will judge in time those who reject his mercy all their lives. We want to be people who have shown his mercy, because we all want to hear the words of Jesus. Come, you who are blessed by my Father. Take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was ill, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. In Matthew 25. So, we need to show mercy. But finally, the merciful receive mercy. Of course, Jesus is not speaking there about someone who was merciful once. You know, on the 4th of August, 1997, I was merciful. He's speaking about people who are merciful all the time, whose character, by the power of the Holy Spirit, is to show mercy. And it's a lifestyle. And to be like that, we need mercy from God to enable us to be merciful. Yeah, let none of us think we can go out from here and just do it ourselves. Because we cannot, we need the help and the power of the Holy Spirit so that we can be merciful. Someone I was reading about this, a guy called Don Carson, he says, grace in the Bible is love for the undeserving. Mercy is love for the miserable. Probably there's an overlap. Well, there is an overlap between grace and mercy. But let there never be anyone miserable because I failed to show mercy when it was my job to do that. It's not my job, you know, to sort famine across the world. It's not my job to make sure everyone's got clean drinking water across the world. And it's not my job to answer every appeal that comes through the letterbox or every advert that calls for me to give money. It's not, but I need to know when it is my job. And when it is my job, let that person who is miserable and has come to me, and I can do something about their misery, let them receive mercy from me. Not in a condescending way, but as one beggar showing another beggar where to find bread. In a way that is, I also need mercy, and in showing you mercy, I'm just showing you what I need myself. And that brings me finally to the parable we read, the terrifying parable that we read. And I really mean that. Jesus begins the parable of the unmerciful servant in Matthew chapter 18 with the words, "The kingdom of heaven is like." So he's telling us that he's making a simile, a likeness, a story that's going to illustrate what the way God does things is like. The kingdom of heaven is like this, says Jesus. This is how God does things. And then he goes on to tell a story. And in the story, the king is wanting to settle accounts. And everyone that's in debt to the king comes, and a man comes who owes the king an impossible amount. We get our heads messed up with the word talent, because we think of talents these days as gifts, the things we're good at. And that's just not what this is about. Because a talent was an amount of money, and it was a lot. The later translation of the NIV translates it as a bag of gold, just to help us get that clear in our heads. And it's very helpful. And so in the parable, the servant owes 10,000 bags of gold to the king. And a bag of gold, which was called a talent, an amount of money, was equivalent to about 20 years of a day laborer's wages. So you can do that in your head. This is like 200,000 years of wages for a day laborer. It's an impossible amount of money. And then I think to myself, but who is this servant supposed to illustrate? Well, Peter has just come to Jesus and said, "How many times do I forgive my brother?" And now Jesus is saying to him, "Peter, this is you. You are the man who owes God 200,000 years of wages. An impossible amount of debt has come to rest upon you, Peter, because of your sins. And upon me, Roddy, and upon you. We are the servant owing an impossible amount of money." And I think that's something to really grasp very clearly. I was thinking about the parable this week when I was on the cross trainer at the gym. Not claiming any virtue for this, but I was on the cross trainer at the gym, and I set myself to do it for half an hour, and it was quite hard, and there was sweat pouring off me, etc., etc. And I stopped, as I was thinking about this parable, I thought, what if I couldn't stop? What if it was required of me that I stay on this cross trainer absolutely knackered forever? Or for 200,000 years? What if I just couldn't step off? What a mercy it is to step off. But what if I couldn't? What if there was no way of getting off it? And this ardour, this misery that I'm enduring here for the sake of trying to keep my body in some kind of shape was something I had to keep enduring and keep enduring and keep enduring, and that there was no way to get off, and somehow my body would be constantly replenished so that it could keep doing this, and I could keep feeling absolutely miserable for a long, long, long time. But there was no mercy. I couldn't get off. That's our position without Christ. Maybe we don't realize See, the parable does not say that this man came and he just owed a small amount of money. Jesus makes it a preposterous amount of money. He's saying that's our position. We may not realise it because we don't see the big picture and what sin really is. Sin is something which, you know, is just like we hear about, you know, Thames water where we're discharging horrible amounts of pollution into our waterways and many other water companies. And our sin is discharging pollution into the cosmos, into the world, into society all the time. Our me-centeredness. And once that's discharged, it can't be brought back. We can't put the lid back on the Pandora's box. It's done. We need mercy. And this is what the parable is seeking to alert us to. The amount of mercy we need is beyond even our capacity to comprehend. And it's far beyond our capacity to pay back. But the king forgives him when he comes and begs. And he goes out from there a very, very, very relieved man. He's been on this treadmill for a long time, on this cross trainer, sweating. And he's just got off. And he finds one of his fellow servants owes him 100 silver coins. So it's not a trivial amount, but it's the sort of amount that someone could pay back, given a bit of time. He takes him by the throat and he insists that this man pays him back and he shows him no mercy. The king is told about this and the king is outraged, as you would expect. And the king has his servant jailed and tortured. He's back on the cross trainer. He's back on it forever because he can't ever get off that now, because how is he ever going to be able to pay back the debt when he's in prison being tortured? He's not going to have any way of paying back. And then Jesus says these words to Peter and the disciples, to you and me, this is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from the heart. Blessed are the merciful. The beatitude is not an optional extra. It's a solemn obligation for us as Christians. And it destroys our smugness about ourselves, like the church at Laodicea. It brings us to our knees for mercy. For mercy for ourselves. And for mercy that we may be able to show mercy to others. So we become people who are full of a sense of the mercy that's been shown us by God, how merciful he is. And we, out of that constant sense of being people who need mercy and who found mercy, pray to our God, not only that he would be merciful, but that he would give us the capacity to be merciful too. So that we can show his mercy to other people around us when that is our calling. When we see that we are the people that must not pass by on the other side. Like everything else in the Beatitudes, Jesus is only teaching what the Old Testament teaches, taught. If a man shuts his ears to the cry of the poor, he too will cry out and not be answered. And that's like the opposite of the parable. The unmerciful will not be shown mercy. Let's pray together. So Lord, we bow in your presence. Help, Lord. Lord Jesus, we know that what you teach is truth. And we know, Lord, that that truth becomes apparent at some point, hopefully today for us. If not, Lord, soon. And Lord, not, we pray, too late. We know, Lord, that the truth will certainly be apparent on the day of judgment, where all truth becomes apparent and everyone sees the way things really have been and were and are. So Lord, we pray that you will help us now to understand this beatitude, now to know our need of mercy, now to seek that mercy from you, now, Lord, having found that mercy, to be full of it, full of the joy of forgiveness and of having found mercy. And now, Lord, to seek your mercy that we may have mercy in our hearts for those who are unmerciful, for those who are unkind, for those who are desperate and needy, and that we may show that mercy ourselves with a deep sense of just being in the same plight as the person that we're showing mercy to, for we also need mercy. Help us to show mercy with great humility and great gentleness and wisdom to others. And help us to know when we are the people that you're calling us to show that mercy. So help us, Lord. Be merciful to us. For your sake. Amen.